Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Cameron-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks for listening. We have John O'Ran from Sports Business Journal on the pod today to go through all of the NFL announcing changes. We finally have Joe Buck and Trey Aikman officially to ESPN, Al Michaels to Amazon, and what will Fox do? So we get into all that, plus some other thing, Herb Street to Amazon. We talk about the baseball a little bit with MLB coming up with these bizarre exclusive packages with Apple TV and Peacock. So we get into that NCAA tournament a little bit. No Train of Thought segment this week. Sal and I couldn't coordinate a time, so he'll be back next week. And we're just going to focus here on O'Ran and our NFL announcing carousel. That looks like it's finally, after many weeks, settled. Before we get to John, if you missed last week's episode, it was a good one. Chris Russo from SiriusXM, the Mad Dog, and Mike Florio were on the pod. A lot of positive feedback on that. People loved hearing Russo. So if you missed that, check that out. Jim Miller 2 weeks ago on all this NFL announcing stuff. Molly Kierum 3 weeks ago. So check those out in the archives if you missed any of them. All right, let's get right to it now. John O'Ran on the NFL announcing carousel and other sports media news right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular from Sports Business Journal and from the Martian and O'Ran podcast, John O'Ran. John, how are you doing?
Busy times, Jimmy. I don't know what we're going to talk about today, man.
I have to say, I'm a little sick of it. Are you?
Marchand is he's the on-air talent guy. He's a pig in mud right now. But yeah, I need the MLS deal to come out. I need a couple of more rights deals to come my way.
It's dragged on way too long.
I do think that this is something that happens, in a sports media nerd sort of sense, once in a generation, right? Madden and Summerall to CBS in 94, and then Summerall retiring and Madden going from Fox to ABC, Monday Night Football. When was that? That had to be 2002 or three.
It's been a long time ago for all the big changes. There haven't been big changes in a long time. I mean, Romo, if you want to count Romo for Sims, but other than that,
yeah, that was one replacement of the number one group analyst role. Right. But this is just a total sea change. And you add in the new partner over at Amazon, and it's, if I can abuse a cliche, the perfect storm, so to speak.
So we got lucky because we're taping this after ESPN finally officially announced what Marchand has reported throughout. With Joe Buck and Trey Aikman going to Monday Night Football on ESPN. The part of this story that I don't understand and that I will try to find out, hopefully one day, why Fox let this happen.
That's a really good angle there. Well, number one, ESPN paid. I mean, so ESPN wanted them, and they bid big. And if you're Fox, you're taking a look at, from a business standpoint, it makes sense for ESPN, but I think it also makes sense for Fox because you have what's essentially a $30 million broadcast booth. And what are they paying now for, you know, if it's going to be Burkhardt and Greg Olson, let's say, right, it's going to be like a $5 million. All of a sudden you're saving $25 million a year. I mean, that's not insubstantial.
Two things I would say to that. I mean, I think the quote came from, if I'm not mistaken, came from your podcast. Was it you and Marshall or David Hill on, or who spoke to David Hill recently?
I interviewed him on for the SBJ Media newsletter. Thanks for the plug.
Okay, there it is. I read it. And I thought his quote was excellent. He basically said if Fox wanted to pay Buck and Aikman, it's basically two Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah, essentially. It depends on how you look at it. It's like 15 right. or $18 million. But yeah, right.
I get that sports fans don't understand the big salaries. And I get that there's this attitude about people are going to watch the games no matter who the announcers are. I get all of that. But I don't believe for a second that Fox couldn't pay them. And I don't believe for a second that it would have been a big deal for Fox to pay them. And keep in mind with Buck, he does baseball as well.
So why did Fox let this happen? One person that we haven't been able to talk to on the record yet is Joe Buck. And, you know, what could Fox have done to keep Joe Buck? Because Joe Buck now is working one game a week. He has his weekends free. He's able to work with his wife. Like, how much money do you put on that? What is that worth? And is that something that Fox could have even matched there? Apparently, he's not going to be doing. Joe Buck's not going to be doing any baseball. At least that wasn't part of the initial announcement there. So he has his summers free. He's going to be working. You know, got a big raise and is going to be working less. I'm not sure what Fox could have done to match that.
Yeah, I really thought Fox having two of the next three Super Bowls would be a factor. You know, they're going to go with Burkhardt and Olson for two of the next three Super Bowls. I'm not saying they, you know, I'm a big, big Kevin Burkhardt fan. I think he's great. But you are rolling the dice a little bit there.
You're rolling the dice. I think it's a safe roll. I think it's a safe bet with Burkhardt. You know, from everything I'm hearing, it's likely to be Olson, but the analyst position is a little bit more because he still only has like one or two seasons.
Right.
That's much more of a risk to put out there. But they also have one thing that Fox has that we don't talk about a lot is Brad Zager is the head of production at Fox, and Eric Shanks is a producer at heart. And these are people that have healthy egos that really believe that they can help. You know, you need a lot of talent to make better, but they can help, like, get internal talent and promote them and get them up. Yeah. And so they're losing one of the best booths in football, but they think that everybody says Fox's bench is deep. And so now we'll get to see.
I could not possibly disagree with that statement more. And I, you know, this is a point that has not been brought up anywhere.
This is like first take. I feel like you're cutting the Stephen A. Who are you, Stephen A? And I'm Mad Dog or what?
I don't know who I want to be in that scenario. I said scenario, so I guess it would be Russo. You know, one of the things that no one has talked about here is if Fox goes Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olson. Now they need a number two team, which calls playoff games. Who is that? I mean, is it, we're going back to Moose Johnston, Jonathan Vilma, Mark Sanchez. I mean, these guys are going to call a playoff game. I don't think there's depth there for Fox.
I haven't heard who their number two or number three, announcers or analysts are going to be, but you know, I mean, one thing about the playoff game is that the championship game is going to be Burkhardt and probably Olson. The Super Bowl is going to be Burkhardt and Olson. Right. So we're talking about what now, like a divisional playoff game that's going to get huge ratings, right, regardless of who the announcer for that game, unless you have like a booger mobile going up and down the sidelines, it's not going to hurt the ratings at all. And probably if you have the booger mobile.
Won't hurt the rating one bit,
or the ad sales, or you name the revenue.
No, yeah. This is about what goes on social media, public perception. Because when you go from, you know, let's take the case of Greg Olsen, who was with the number two team there. Now you go to the number one team. So now you're going to 25 million viewers every single Sunday when Fox is the 425 game. And then, 40 million with the playoff games, the public is not going to be kind if you're not on your A game.
No, look at what happened to Tony Romo this past playoffs. Right. he had a really good, I think, what was it, wild card game?
Right.
And then messed the bet up the championship game and the divisional round and really heard about it.
And the other example there is Drew Brees, who NBC threw into the fire.
One game he did poorly, and now it's amazing. You're not hearing his name anywhere, Jimmy.
Right.
If this had happened a year ago, Drew Brees' name would be attached to Amazon. It would be attached to Fox. And he still could go back to Fox potentially. But
I've said all along, I thought that was NBC. NBC threw him under the bus. He had no business doing that game. And then it showed, obviously, because it was rough. And like you said, this was Drew Brees was a hot name there. And now you don't hear his name bandied about for any of these jobs.
Yeah. And the one thing that like David Hill said too, in that story is, I know everybody laughs because they're not working in salt mines, but this is it's a hard job. There aren't that many people that are really good at this job. Right. And when Tony Romo came from the field into the booth and was immediately excellent, that's not usual. That was a unicorn. It doesn't happen. And so the idea of Drew Brees coming and being absolutely great, like, it'll take some seasoning. People go back all the time to Madden, and this is what 50 years ago. But he started as like the number four on the number four broadcast team on CBS. He worked his way up to becoming John Madden.
Right. And to follow up on your point about not everyone can do this. It's not as easy as people think, and there are only a handful of people that can do this. And then going back to also, I don't think the salaries should be a factor here because the networks Amazon was hell bent on getting an A-list booth. They wanted Troy, and they end up with Al and Herb Street. And Amazon clearly was not going to have anything but what they thought was a top level booth. And I think obviously they have it there because in the couple of NFL games he did, I thought Herb Street was excellent, and obviously Al is Al.
The question that I get a lot is why, like, why all of a sudden are we having other than the fact that there were outs and contracts and people were coming up. And I believe it was not just Amazon getting a game, but it was Amazon setting its sights on potentially having a booth of Al Michaels and Troy Aikman. Right. And ESPN, they were fine. They had the Manning cast and they were fine with their booth, and they wanted to improve it. It wasn't as good as the others, but they wanted to improve it. If they all of a sudden were going to be even worse off or viewed less than Amazon for Prime Videos like Thursday Night Football, that would have been a bitter pill to swallow.
Wow. That is a phenomenal point that I have never thought of before. That's interesting. If Amazon on Thursday night with their limited audiences, Al and Troy, and ESPN's going, wow, that's a really good point. I had not thought of that.
Well, then, and ESPN certainly has the money to, the other David Hill mentioned, the Super Bowl ad sales, but every single broadcast network or every single TV network, they're all paying more than $2 billion for the rights. So what's a $17 million contract? That's rounding error.
That's why I don't believe for a second, if Fox is paying $2 billion a year for the NFL, they can't pay Joe and Troy $30 million a year to do the games. I just don't believe that.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cameron Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know, I mean, if anyone would know, it would be you, because this is sort of the business side of it. Do we have any idea what ESPN gave Fox for Joe Buck? Because Joe, if anyone doesn't know, has still had a year left on his contract. So ESPN had to give Fox something to let Joe out of the last year. Now, Jim Miller was on the pod 2 weeks ago, and he said it was probably going to be a Big Ten game. And I guess someone, I don't know who, went and said something about Notre Dame, Ohio State. ESPN executive went on Twitter, said this is blatantly false. Is it just they're getting a Big Ten game? We don't know what it is yet. What do you hear on that?
You know, I'm going to answer that question, Jimmy, but I have to give you props. The way you ask questions, like, there's no way I can say, I don't know. Because you're like, if anybody knows this, you know. And I'm like puffing up my chest. Like, I'm going to, but I don't know. I'm not having you.
I didn't ask you to come on because you don't know what you're talking about.
Say, I don't know. They haven't really started talking or negotiating that point yet. But it's something. That there's some sort of formula that they're using that there's going to be some sort of payment. And I'm not sure if it's going to be as simple as we're going to get a game, but that's on the list of things to take a look at.
No rabbits or cartoon characters. Like when Al got
Oswald traded. The Lucky Rabbit. The best story I've ever done in my career is Michael for Oswald.
That is a good one. The last thing on this, I guess, you know, ESPN, I would imagine, you know, you mentioned, you know, they couldn't go out there and have Amazon have sort of a better booth than them. I also think in terms of ESPN paying these guys, this more than anything, this just has to be a relief for ESPN, which since Gruden left has tried to, they don't have to worry about this for 5 years. They have 5 years now where they don't have to worry about anything. Whereas every year after Gruden, and I didn't love the, you know, I wasn't a Gruden fan, but that's a whole separate issue that we don't need to get into, but they just put out a worry that they've had for all these years. That alone has to be worth the price.
Yeah. To me, it's less about the worry. I think I think ESPN would have been totally satisfied rolling out with the same booth again.
But the NFL probably wouldn't have been when that Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Out.
And I think that's the point that I wanted to make, which is the, take a look at the Monday night schedule that's going to come out this year. It's going to be, if it's not leaps and bounds better than in the past decade, I'll be totally shocked. Cause I think that's what this is about. It's a message to the NFL of like, you know, give us better games. We're worthy of it.
Yeah. I've said all along, the NFL plays a role here. They want the top people doing the top games. So that's a factor as well. A lot of people will do this quickly just for people listening who we're in the business. We cover this stuff, so we follow it and know a little more than the average fan. And you and I both know that if you just look at the numbers in terms of ratings from last year, for as popular and as the Manning Cast smash hit Everyone on social media loved the Manning cast. Nothing but positive press for the Manning cast. But the numbers compared to the traditional telecast, they don't even compare. I mean, you're talking 13 million to 1.5 million. I'm amazed how many people on Twitter think Troy and Joe would factor in here with the Manning cast. Like, I think it's just, I don't think the Manning cast has any factor in this at all. People think that Joe and Troy may take viewers away from the Manning cast. The Manning cast may, why would Joe and Troy want to compete with the Manning cast? I don't think it's a factor. Where do you fall on that?
Yeah, I don't see it as a factor. I think that it's entirely possible they might take some viewers from the Manning cast because people, you know, they're going to be a better booth than last year's booth. So it's entirely possible that happens. I personally, and I think a lot of people on Twitter are going to still watch the Manning cast or at least judge the Manning cast by who the guest is going to be per quarter, because it's just such a new, different way of right. watching football. And unless it's your favorite team, ESPN executives, they've always called the Manning cast as additive. Like it's not necessarily competing against Monday Night Football. It's all adding up, and that's how they sell ads across both. It's the same ads. They take the same commercial breaks at the same time, which is always funny on the Manning cast because they still don't seem to know when the commercial breaks are coming. Yeah. And I don't see it as having any effect on the Manning cast that they've re-signed. The Manning cast is coming back next year. I'm sure if the ESPN could get them for the next 5 years, they would.
Right. Yeah. I think what it does is it puts maybe, you know, fans like me who like, you know, I like Joe and Troy and I like the Manning cast, and it puts people like me, I guess, in a tough spot because, you know, where do you want to go sometimes? But and then you also you have the fact of like if the game is good and close, you know, what team you want to go with. And then obviously the Manning's doing interviews. So if they have someone on, I'm not interested and I don't have to watch it. So it'll be interesting to see how it does play out because it does make the choice tougher.
I will say this. I think that it will make their choice of guests that much more important, because mm-hmm. I do think a lot of people will be saying like, oh, I don't want to hear this person, so I'll watch a regular broadcast.
Right. Yeah. Can we pass on Condoleezza Rice next year? The last thing on this too, I just want to say this because, you know, right before we started taping, you know, ESPN put out the official announcement and, Steve Levy went on Twitter and sort of congratulated and had some nice words for Joe Buck. And I thought that was extremely classy. And I just wanted to mention that because that's a tough spot. If you're Steve Levy, you have this job and, you know, you basically find out probably everything on Twitter about you not having that job over the last several weeks. So I thought that was really classy move by Levy. And I'm sure ESPN will put him on NHL and maybe back to college football and he'll be fine because he's, you know, he's a good announcer.
You know, one thing about Steve Levy is that everybody that covered that covers this and everybody internally at ESPN, they all like him a lot. And right. and I think they like him a lot because he does things like you just mentioned. So they were almost rooting for him, even if they knew that they were going to move on from him to use, you know, Joe Buck.
All right, a few other things here. Transition away from the trying to think, did we cover? We mentioned Al, Amazon, Fox. Where do they go? I think Herb Street. Yeah, I guess we covered it.
Yeah, CBS are not doing anything. Tirico and Collinsworth is kind of the same almost, you know?
Right. Couple of, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just old and I don't get it anymore, but these Major League Baseball deals with Apple TV and Peacock. Now, I get why the streaming services do it, because they basically need any kind of content they can possibly get. But if you're Major League Baseball, okay, so the Apple TV deal is an exclusive Friday night deal. So the young people you're trying to attract are not watching baseball on a Friday night. The old people who do watch your sport don't know how to use Apple TV. And then it's an exclusive. And then Sunday at 11:30 in the morning, there's going to be an exclusive game on Peacock. What are we doing?
So you said you understand why the streaming services are
yeah, they need any content they can get.
Yeah, this is like a low cost, relatively low risk way to potentially build their audience with baseball fans who may or may not be subscribing to Apple TV Plus and Peacock. If you're baseball, look at the average age of the baseball viewer. You know, it's it's up there.
Older than me, thank God.
Yeah, I'm still younger than that.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is a way to get to people who have cut the cord, regardless of age, really, but generally younger. And it's also, you have to remember, these packages are not Sunday night baseball, and it's not Fox's Saturday night baseball. There are no playoffs that are involved with this. These are all packages that every single TV media network said no to. And so they're shopping them around. And I take my hat off to the baseball executives, because they found willing buyers to actually pay, you know, significant money for these two packages.
At the risk, though, of pissing off your fan base, I think, because I think the key here is this: the games are exclusive, meaning if you are a Yankee fan and they're on Apple TV on Friday night, you cannot watch it on Yes. You have to watch it on Apple TV.
Right.
Now, I just don't, who's doing that?
Were you upset when Yankee games were on Yahoo or Facebook? I mean, they've been doing.
I don't think they ever put the Yankees on the face. If they had an exclusive game on Facebook, yes, I would have been livid.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever actually watched a game that was on Facebook.
Well,
but they have a history of doing this going back several years.
Right.
But the other thing too is that this always makes me laugh, because you and I talk about this all the time, the great old days of cable. And now, you know, if you want to be a baseball fan, you have to subscribe to Peacock and you have to subscribe to Apple TV Plus.
Right.
And it's miserable. And it's happened in every other sport. If you want to see a soccer fan, like 2 years ago, they were all up in arms because you have to get just about every streaming service.
And tennis, I feel
that's happened with the Australian Open. Now it's baseball's turn. Next time it's going to be basketball. It's every sport is dealing with this, and fans are furious about it.
Yeah, it's bullshit. And I do feel like when this happens, people like you and I, because we're in the business, we hear it, see it, and I don't think baseball fans understand. They're not going to understand until that Friday night when their team is playing and it's not on TV. What's going on? I don't think. Here's the bottom line. If you're a Yankee fan like me who wants to watch the majority of games, you still have cable and Yes. You have to pay for the Yes network. You have to have it through cable. So then they're going to take games away from that, and I got to subscribe to Apple TV and Peacock. It's just hit the fans over the head with a barrel or with a whatever. I don't know what word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And just beat them and bludgeon them to death until every penny is leaked out of their wallets.
Well, my favorite thing annually, every single year on Tuesday, I went on Twitter and I searched for True TV, and it's just hilarious. And the number of people that don't realize the NCAA basketball tournament is on some channel called True TV that they have to find, and nobody knows where to get it.
At least you don't have to pay extra for it, unlike
that's
Apple
true.
TV.
That's true. But it still irritates them. Like, why would I go there? Nobody knows to go there.
It's just, I get it's a cash grab for baseball, but it doesn't serve your audience in any way. It's not going to grow your audience. It's not going to serve your audience. I just think it's so short-sighted and so stupid.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're
saying
right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop. be.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let me just defend baseball for a second.
Sure.
See if this works. It does potentially grow the audience. There are a lot of people, cord cutting is real. There are a lot of baseball fans that don't subscribe to watch YES Network and do whatever they listen however they want to listen.
Here's how I'd counter that. If you're not a big enough baseball fan to subscribe to your local team on cable, to have cable, you're not going to be watching a game on Peacock at 11:30 on a Sunday morning. I don't know who that game is for. That game would be for the person who wants to watch every game. That's not for the fringe fan. If you're a real fan, you have cable and you have or whatever satellite, this and whatever it can to get all 162 games.
The fringe fan
who doesn't have that is not going to subscribe
to Big
Peacock.
Shot SI podcaster. Think of the guy that just graduated college and is like bartending. And
so he's going to subscribe to Peacock to watch one game on a Sunday at 11:30.
Yeah, and then you cancel and you end up paying $2? You're like prorated.
Everyone
does smarter than we are, Jimmy.
Everyone loves the subscribe and cancel scam. We've all done it. That is true. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was weird and interesting. I know a lot of the conference tournaments did decent ratings, but then the selection show was down big. Do we chalk that up to maybe just like, you know, every year as more and more people stream and cut the cord, ratings go down? Or why do you think the selection show went from, you know, 5.46 million people to 4.95 million people?
There's always a million reasons. I can tell you, like, the weather here in D.C. was actually pretty good.
Right.
But don't forget, that was the day that Tom Brady came out.
So that was after the selection show. The selection show had ended, I think, when he...
Oh, is that true? I thought he came out...
Maybe it was like 7 o'clock when he... The CBS show was over. The ESPN one might have still been going on because the CBS one was an hour.
Yeah. Well, also the Big Ten championship, which is always a lead-in to the show, had two teams in it, Purdue and Iowa, that aren't the biggest ratings getters in the in the conference. So that could have played a part in it as well. I haven't really looked in to the reason why.
Yeah,
I saw a headline that mentioned the Brady thing, but maybe that didn't work either.
No,
but
Brady happened after 7 o'clock, so CBS was off the air by then.
Uh huh. So the lead in was down a little bit because the championship game didn't do as well. And, you know, something as simple as the weather being nice and I'm just going to be outside is also plays a part.
So let me ask you, with all this NFL announcer stuff now finished, what's the next sports media thing that we're looking at here? What should we be keeping our eye on?
You know, the one thing that I've been maniacal on is covering the future of the regional sports networks,
right?
Because of everything that we talked about. Like, people are cutting the cord. The cost for just subscribing to see YES is getting prohibitive for a lot of people. And if YES might not be the best example, but you take, like, you know, an SNY or any of these regional sports networks. If they start losing, I don't like using YES because the Yankees are involved with that as well.
Right.
Well, then the Mets are with SNY. So let's do Masson down here with the Orioles and Nationals. Mm-hmm. As people keep cutting the cord, they lose their distribution. They're not able to get as much money then from the cable operators, and then they can't afford to pay for the rights. And if you're a team, you depend on that. Those rights fees are like $30 million a year that have a healthy increase annually. Like, right. If those are going to start to come backwards, you're going to see teams not being able to pay some of the front office staff, some of the back office staff. It's a real big issue that has every single league and every single team sort of getting a little bit worried.
Well, you say every team though. Is it
But like, I would imagine like the Yankees with Yes and the Red Sox with Nesson and the Dodgers, wherever they are, you know, they're
yeah. And unfortunately, I picked Masson and because the Orioles right. own Masson. So that was a bad right. example as well.
But I'm saying the better teams, big markets like the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, their local stations, I'm sure, are fine. It's the Pirates, the Red, the Bally Sports, other ones in trouble, right?
The other ones are in more dire trouble. The right. Dodgers are sitting pretty because they're guaranteed a huge rights fee no matter what. But right. even Yes Network and even Nesson are dependent on this affiliate revenue that they get from distributors. And so, you know, as that goes down, they're not in as dire straits as if you're, you know, a Kansas City, the Kansas City Royals, depending on the Sinclair station, the Bally Sports Kansas City out there, that they're the ones that are sort of like, on, you know, the sky could be falling.
Right. Interesting. And is the cord cutting, is it still happening at a rapid rate? Is it slowed down at all? Is it still every year it increases more and more?
No, or is it everything I've seen says that it hasn't slowed down at all. The question everybody has is when it's going to level off.
Right.
Because I can guarantee you, I'm always going to be subscribing to the cable bundle. It's, right. you know, I suspect you will be as well.
Yes.
And at some point, I think that people are going to be cutting the cord and then realizing that they have to subscribe to all those different streaming services, which is in effect creating another bundle, which is going to cost as much and deliver less for what they want. So I have a suspicion that's based on no data that that the cord cutting is actually could reverse in a little bit or at least level off. Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I hear people say, you know, I'll see people on Twitter, they'll say something like, you know, oh, I only pay $100 and I get this, this, and it's just, it mathematically doesn't make sense. Like, you can't have cable and have those streaming services. You can't subscribe to like MLB Extra Innings or Sunday Ticket. Forget all everything I just said. Where are we? That's all people, that's all I get asked. Get everything. What is going on?
I was
going to
say, like, if you had ended it without asking about Sunday Ticket, I'd be shocked.
You know, even with you know, the NFL announcer stuff, whenever there'd be, I tweet about it. People are like, I don't care what's going on with Sunday Ticket. What's going on with Sunday Ticket? That's what people want to know. A lot of people thought the DirecTV exclusivity is up. It's not. They still have it for the 2022 season.
Yeah, you still have DirecTV for this season.
Right.
And then all likelihood is DirecTV is out.
Now that's a change because a lot of the prevailing thought before was
the last time service. I was on, I suggested they were going to stay in. They're going to keep a small part of it, a small but lucrative part of it, where they'll go to the bars and restaurants, and because they're not quite set up for streaming yet. I'm saying that like it's definitive. It's not. That's likely what's going to happen. That's what I expect to happen.
That's pretty interesting. And then DirecTV would stay in the game just to supply the bars and restaurants, basically.
That's a lucrative business.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, I wonder what they're going to do with Thursday Night Football on Amazon. You're in a bar on a Thursday night and the Cowboys are playing the Packers. You're going to be screwed.
Can you imagine how clogged our internet systems are going to be? I would suspect they're not going to put Cowboys Packers on the Thursday night there, but that's
every bar and restaurant, but it load up on the Fire Sticks.
Everybody bring your hotspot. Set up your hotspot, you got a free beer.
But it's actually all kidding aside. If you're in a bar that's got, let's say, 20 TVs and they're all hooked up to DirecTV on a Thursday night, that bar is going to have to plug in a Fire Stick into all those TVs.
To get unless they work something out with DirecTV for a commercial license, which
you think the Thursday night Amazon game could be on DirecTV?
I do not. I haven't heard that.
I was going to say, there's no way they're going to have to use an Amazon Fire Stick in the bars to get Thursday night football.
Unless there's some sort of commercial license on that as well.
Right. But what are we going to say about the Sunday Ticket?
Well, it looks like it's going to go to a streaming company. And right now there are three left. The dark horse is ESPN Disney, which would put it on ESPN Plus. And then Apple and Amazon are battling it out. This changes all the time. Most recently, as of like a couple weeks ago, Apple was a front runner, looks to be in the lead. So like you would subscribe to Apple Plus in order to get a Sunday Ticket, then you'll certainly be watching Apple on Friday night. If they have the Yankees.
I have it already. I'm just talking, but there's a part of me that thinks at some point I can't have all of these. It's ridiculous to have all of these. Something's got to go at some point.
All right. So I'm curious, what do you have and what do you find to be worthwhile?
So I have Peacock. That's worthwhile because if you're a wrestling fan, you get the WWE Network and you get every pay-per-view every month. So I have Peacock. I have Apple TV, which is fine. I watch The Morning Show. It's one of the worst shows ever, and I watched every episode.
I know. I hate that show, and I keep watching it. Exactly. What does that say about me?
Yeah. Obviously, Netflix. Obviously, Amazon Prime. Hulu, which I have the Hulu bundle. Which I will say this, if you are, the Hulu bundle comes with Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, and it's $13 a month. So I think that one is worth it. I had Paramount, canceled it. I mean, I pay $10 a month for Sirius XM, so I count that in sort of my subscription.
I'm shocked. You don't have HBO Max.
I do have HBO Max, but that's part of my cable. I have that because of cable. That's not a separate subscription. So that's why I didn't count that in there because I still pay $250 a month for Verizon Fios. That's the problem.
Yeah. I'm an Xfinity subscriber down here. So they put Peacock in with that.
But nice.
Yeah. I watch probably Apple TV Plus and HBO Max the most.
Well, I watch cable the most. That's still what I watch.
Watch cable the most. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But see, I'm not a soccer fan. I guess if you're a soccer watcher, you need to have a bunch of these, DAZN and
going. That's what I said. Like the soccer fan were the first, they were the first ones to realize I have to buy all these services to see my sport.
Right.
And then it hit tennis. Now it's hitting baseball. I mean, have you heard from hockey fans that don't know where to go watch your games? Exclusive on Hulu.
Well, I'll say this. If I wasn't an Apple TV subscriber, I would not subscribe to watch one or two Yankee games a season on a Friday night. And if I didn't have Peacock, I wouldn't subscribe, for that either. That would not make me a regular season baseball game where your team is going to be on it. I mean, how many times could your team be on it? Twice a year, maybe?
No, I haven't gotten an answer to that because Fox gets a certain number of games. ESPN gets a certain number of games. RSN can only give up a certain number of games. I don't know how many Apple TV, but if they're going to have a doubleheader every Friday night, that's got to cut into from somewhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it would be more than twice a season then. And then you have a problem. That's for sure. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll have to see what we do now with our lives now that Joe and Troy at ESPN and Al's at Amazon. And
well, Fox still has to make their decisions. You know, the Amazon is it's close, but it's not set. So we'll see. Still a lot more to go.
But it's the fun. I think the fun is over now. Now it's just a matter of dotting the I's and crossing the T's on all this stuff.
Yeah. Now we're all into Sunday Ticket. I got it.
Sunday Ticket is where it's at right now, for sure. All right, John, appreciate it. And great job as always. And Sports Business Journal and the Marchand and Oran podcast rolling along. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Anytime. All right, that wraps up this week's episode of the SI Media Podcast. My thanks to John Oran. If you missed any recent episodes, go into the archives and check them out. Had a really good episode last week with Christopher Mad Dog Russo from SiriusXM and now First Take, and Mike Florio as well. So check that out. If you missed it last week, it's in the archives for you. Subscribe to the pod, and if you can rate and review, that helps as well. And like I said, no train of thoughts this week. Sal will be back next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, stay safe, take care, be well. We'll see you next week.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.